Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Marriage After God podcast. We're on week 17 of this 30-day marriage devotional series that we've been doing. 30 days. It's a 30-day devotional. This is a 30-week series that we're doing. And these devotionals that we're doing is based off of our Husband and Wife After God marriage devotionals that we wrote many years ago. And it's been a lot of fun, but we're on week 17. Like we said last time, we're past the halfway point. So if you've gotten this far, we're just so proud of you. And today's episode, this topic, we're talking about wisdom and
something we all want.
Something we all want. It's an amazing thing. So why don't we just get straight into it?
Yeah, well, wisdom is a beautiful attribute of God. If you think about his nature, it's a characteristic that that defines who he is. It's a part of him. And there's parts of his nature that we can't be like we can't
like
know
his
everything. And yeah, we can't be perfect. But there are parts of his nature that we can share in and that we can experience to a degree because we're made like him and we're made in his image. And wisdom is one of those. And so
yeah,
it's something that, like you said, we all want it. Mm-hmm. We all desire it. And it's been around since the beginning.
We're going to actually talk about that in a second. And wisdom is one of those things that the Bible talks about a lot. And as we always say, we want to go to the Word of God. We want to find out what it says and allow it to inform us and who we are and how we should think. So the only place to learn what true godly wisdom is from God himself, mm-hmm. Through his word. Wisdom, this is a really cool thing. You wrote this note down. Wisdom witnessed the foundations of the world being made. So why don't you read this description? There's several times in the poetry in the Bible, mm-hmm. like in Proverbs and in different places, that things are personified and wisdom's one of them. And so why don't you read this?
Yeah, I love this. It's Proverbs 8, and it just gives this description of wisdom that's so revealing. But it says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters may not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man."
Hmm. So this is a really cool section of scripture where it's wisdom talking like a person. That's mm-hmm. what personified means. Wisdom saying, "I was there before the foundations of the world. I was there when God set up the oceans and the foundations and the circle of the earth," it says, which is really cool because the Bible proves a lot of the things that we know now scientifically. Mm-hmm. And this was written way before they knew these things, which again shows the wisdom of God. But I love the personification of it. It's showing that wisdom existed before we did. Wisdom existed before the earth did, before creation did. And that's how God made everything, was in wisdom. And so I think we get to draw from this, from the ancientness of this, mm-hmm. because it predates us. It predates the earth. And so I think we should try and dig in and be like, well, how do we tap into what that is?
Yeah. Job also tells us where wisdom comes from. So why don't you read Job? It's 28:20-28.
Yeah, this is really cool because Job is one of the oldest known manuscripts in the Bible. And so there's age to this. It says, "From where then does wisdom come?" So he's asking, like, where does wisdom that we're talking about come from? "And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, 'We have heard a rumor of it with our ears.' God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and the thunder, Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. What's really cool about this is that this talks about very similar things, all being predating us, predating creation, and that God is the one that knows it and reveals it. And it says, God even says what it is. Behold, it's the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And so if we were to start anywhere, we start with the fear of the Lord and trusting in him and chasing after him and understanding what his word says so that our whole life, our marriage, our decisions we make are directed by that relationship with God.
That's good. So again, you shared this in the beginning, but this series that we're doing is drawn from our devotionals, Husband and Wife After God. And in Wife After God, it explains wisdom this way. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God and hate evil. It is knowledge of what is right, not just knowing, but acting justly in that knowledge. Foolishness is knowing the truth, yet not acting on it. For example, Eve lived in a magnificent garden where she experienced an intimate relationship with God and her husband. God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of a specific tree in the garden, a command of love and protection. Eve was deceived as she saw the fruit on that specific tree alluring, desiring to eat it so that she may gain wisdom. Eve's downfall was her pride, believing that she could find her own way to gain understanding and insight. She disregarded God's commandment by eating the fruit while inviting her husband to sin along with her. It would have been better for Eve to ask God for wisdom, for true wisdom only comes from God. Although knowing the truth, she did not act on it. Foolishness filled her heart, leading her to sin against her creator, her God, her everything.
Yeah, so God gives this command, which is in itself wisdom. He says, you can eat of everything but this. And she goes against that knowledge that she has and does the opposite, seeking out for herself how to get knowledge. Because remember, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She's looking for knowledge. And like you said in Wife After God, she was trying to find it for herself against God's wisdom.
And so often I think when we think and consider of what wisdom is, we think about the knowledge aspect of you gaining something and you have this insight and intellect, but true wisdom comes with this application of it. And like you walk in it and you do the things that are wise, what we were talking about just now is that foolishness is you could know something and still not walk in it or apply
do the
that
opposite of it.
And do the opposite. That's foolish, right?
Yeah, it's very foolish.
So there's this element of wisdom of having the knowledge, but also taking that knowledge and living it out.
Well, and I want to take the example that we've seen, Eve, and she hears from God, eat of everything, but don't eat of this. I guess I should say Adam heard this from God. But she, instead of acting on what she knows, so God says this, she acts on her own ideas, her own heart. She even listens to the serpent in this situation and listens to his advice, his wisdom, quote unquote. And we're going to talk about this difference between the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom. But if it starts with the fear of the Lord, if she truly feared God in those moments, she'd be like, actually, I got to listen to what God said here. Regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of what you serpents say about it. And so understanding wisdom first starts with, it's not just having, like you said, knowledge. It's not just knowing what is right. It's not just knowing the right direction to go or the right path to take or the right action to do. It's doing it. And so there's some examples I want to give. We know that in the Bible, it tells us that with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. This is a powerful truth that a lot of believers struggle with because it doesn't feel like it's true, but it is. That with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. But there are times when all of us, we do not walk in that truth. We don't take the way of escape that God provides. We even tell ourselves like, oh, I had no choice. I had to give into this temptation. And that's walking in foolishness. That's not taking the wisdom. That's not taking the truth that God has for us and applying it and doing it.
On the flip side to that, there's been times, situations where we've had opportunity to sin and the temptation is there and having those sensitivities to the Holy Spirit,
we recognize
the escape and we walk in it and how sweet it is to experience that victory In Christ.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We know that eating healthy is right mm-hmm. and good, but often we don't choose to do that. We know like, oh, I need to have a good, healthy diet. And instead we choose something else.
Yeah.
But how good does it feel when we walk in self-control
mm-hmm.
and reap the rewards physically and mentally for eating and being more healthy? So yeah. that's, again, a contrast of knowing what's right and not and doing the opposite of it. Mm-hmm. You want to share that next one?
Yeah, we may know that spending beyond our means is not a good thing.
I think everyone would say that. Like, yeah, we shouldn't spend more than we have.
And yet we I don't want to say collectively we. I think that there's moments or seasons or, you know, different reasons why people mm-hmm. will spend beyond their means and walk in that foolishness. But wisdom will say, you know, stick to that budget. Mm-hmm. And when you do, again, the same kind of rewards of feeling, you know, just
yeah,
that you've done the right
free,
thing,
strong.
That you feel wise, you feel like you've done good, you know.
Yeah, learning to budget, mm-hmm. having the control over those things, it feels really good. And yeah, there's nuances to all of this, of course. Yeah. But in general, the idea is like we may know something that's good and then not do it still. Mm-hmm. So knowledge isn't enough. Here's another example. We just want to give a few of these to just situate our hearts in understanding like, oh, there's so many times that we don't walk in the wisdom that God
and
gives
us. And so many of these relate so well to marriage and just that relationship back and forth of being able to walk as a couple together in wisdom.
Here's one. We may know that giving, and the Bible tells us this, giving a soft answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. Proverbs tells us this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the heat of a moment, we raise our voices. We get defensive. We say things we regret. We become harsh. But how powerful it is when we pause. We take a breath. We respond with gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
We watch as the tension in the room dissolves. And instead of escalating.
Yeah.
Like that's a powerful thing. But so often we don't choose the wise path. We choose the foolish path.
Here's another one. And with this one, it's like... when I brought up the spending one, that's one where you kind of get through the consequences of that and then you move on. Where this next one, certain things that we choose can really like affect us long term and continue to wreck us. Yeah. And it's about forgiveness. And so we know that we're called to forgive as believers. But if we choose not to and we don't walk in that wisdom that God has provided through his word, we will instead experience bitterness and harm with our feelings, our emotions,
well,
and our relationships.
Unity, it breaks that bond.
Mm-hmm.
But how good does it feel when you finally release that grudge?
Yeah.
When you do forgive, even if nothing's yet changed, there's a weight that's lifted off your chest.
Yeah.
And often that's when you see true healing begin in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When at least one of the spouses is like, I'm just going to forgive. I'm going to change my heart on this. We may know that our spouse needs encouragement. This is a big one. Next episode is about encouragement, actually. We may know that our spouse needs encouragement and they need to hear that we love them, appreciate them, but then days turns into weeks and without speaking life over them and we forget and we move on. So we may know what is good and powerful and best, just like knowledge-wise. It's in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one would argue with these things. They're like, yeah, of course, we should budget. We should be healthy. We should speak kindly. But then in our actions, in our behavior, we prove to believe something else. And so this is what we want to talk about when it comes to wisdom is it's not just knowledge because you can read the whole Bible and you can have your head full of what it says and it never change you if you don't let it. Which is why God himself in Job says, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Like that is wisdom. So starting with, well, what does he say? And how do I fearfully receive it and say, because I fear God only and no one else, I want to do what he says and reap the benefits of that in my marriage, in my life.
So basically we're talking about having the truth and the insight and the wisdom and the actions to go along with it. We're going to be doers of the word. not just hearers. And in James 1, 22 through 25, it says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres." Sorry, I lost my spot. "Perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing."
Hmm. And this is the kind of man or woman God desires us to be, is one who's not so flimsy in our identity, whimsical in our understanding, that like the man looking in a mirror and then turns around and is like, what did I look like? And has to look back in the mirror and then walks away.
Or even
away.
Just that forgetfulness over like, what am I supposed to be obedient to? What am I supposed to be caring about? You know.
But we, when we apply it, when we say, I look at this, I look at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the Bible says, it's a law of freedom. It's not a law of bondage or slavery. That I say, that's going to be the most freedom I can have, is obeying it and walking in it. James 4:17. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This is a really powerful scripture to remind each of us on an individual level that though a certain action or choice may not necessarily be globally sin. If you go against what you know in the moment is the right thing to do, you're actually walking against wisdom and you're choosing sin. And God gives each one of us paths to take and things that he desires us to do on a unique level. And what he's looking for is that we obey him. Yeah. He's looking for a relationship with him that follows him as a student, as a master, as a son, as a father. And so this is really big stuff that we as individuals need to start applying to ourselves and our marriages and life is, do we walk in wisdom? Do we look at the perfect law of God, look at his word and say, how am I allowing this to be my life and walk in it?
Yeah. When we do that and when our actions are based in wisdom, we're actually proving what we believe and what we know and what we believe. And when a person doesn't have discrepancy, like you know that person knows something, but they're not doing it, that's discrepancy. If you know they know it and they do it, that's trustworthy. That brings security.
It's faithful.
Especially in a marriage. When you think about how wisdom impacts a marriage, I mean, that is trustworthy. When I see you walk out something you know is true, I can trust that.
And we all do it. We all don't do it in many ways. But you're right. When we see our spouse, when we see someone in our life doing the things that they know they should be doing, that is right and good, you respect them.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's an honorable thing.
Yeah.
And it's something I think we can all pursue. So why should we pursue godly wisdom and not worldly wisdom? Because there's a difference.
Well, one was at the beginning and one was developed over time
and
changes rapidly.
Yeah, and changing is a good word. The worldly wisdom is constant fluctuating. Yeah. It's like, what is now quote unquote wise? Like, oh, you need to invest this way. You need to make this
depending
kind of
business
choice.
Depending on who's loudest or what's leading, trending.
And so there's a wisdom that's perfect and lasts forever. And there's a wisdom that is fleeting and it's not. Mm-hmm. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. Because again, the Bible speaks on these things. Yeah. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And so we see a picture
it's like an
here.
Upside down world.
If you think about the disciples, you know, we often we realize they went and preached and that people recognize like, oh, these are uneducated men. These are just fishermen.
They're normal.
These are normal men. So when it says not wise according to the world, some might say like, hey, you're literally leaving your only family, your father, you're leaving your only career fishing to go do what? Follow this man that claims to be the Messiah. That seemed foolish by worldly standards in that time. And to be honest, that would seem really foolish in today's time too. But following Jesus is the most wise thing anyone could do is putting their trust in the Messiah and in Jesus. And so this is showing like there's a worldly wisdom that will keep you from true wisdom. And there's a godly wisdom that will get you closer to the Savior, closer to Jesus and walking with him.
Proverbs is just full of wisdom. There is so, it's so rich. So if you guys have any questions at all at the end of this, or if you just want to dive in deeper, go to Proverbs, start in Proverbs 1 and read the whole thing. But in Proverbs 2, 6 through 8, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." And then Proverbs 3, 13 says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding."
Yeah. You want to be blessed?
Study Proverbs.
Find wisdom.
Yeah.
Get understanding. Understanding and wisdom, these are the things that will change our lives in every way possible. Biblical
wisdom.
Well,
I would say when you're pursuing wisdom, let's say you read Proverbs, then apply Proverbs, that is when you experience it.
Absolutely.
It's through the application of it.
We teach our children from Proverbs often. Like often it's like, hey, there's this situation. What does the Bible say about it? Much of the things that we try and teach them come right out of the book of Proverbs. It's a great place to teach yourself.
Speaking of children and family, how can having godly wisdom, especially you as a leader, you know, as a husband, benefit your whole family?
Well, walking in wisdom, especially as a husband, as a father, is safe. Because foolishness brings disgrace, it brings destruction, it brings brokenness, it brings all sorts of things. Walking in wisdom keeps you safe. It keeps the decisions a wise father, a wise husband makes are going to be for the benefit of not just the husband, but of everyone in the family. It's going to be like, hey, I need to be careful in this decision because it's going to affect my wife and my kids, not just me. And so walking in wisdom is safe. It also, as the Bible says over and over again, brings blessing. So it's not just safe, but it blesses. It actually brings more fruit into our home and brings more flourishing, more health, more finances, more time. Walking in biblical godly wisdom blesses the family in every way. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect in every way, but
yeah.
You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem Health Share Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information.
I would agree, and I would add to it that it's inspiring. So when you pursue wisdom, it inspires me to want to pursue it, and I know it inspires the kids, and I've seen that take action in them. And so I think that it's a continual process of learning and gaining and pursuing wisdom.
I'll say we're saying pursuing wisdom because there's this like action toward it. Like, I want to become wise. I want to, but in reality, what you're saying is when we see people walking in wisdom, what we're doing is we're actually seeing the actions they take and the fruit that they get. And we say, well, I want that. I want to be like that. I want to experience that. When we see people with self-control, self-discipline, courage, boldness, not just knowing the word of God, but how they actually put it into practice in their life.
Yeah.
Those are the things that inspire us. Because I've known many people who pursue knowledge and pursue worldly wisdom. And then I look at their life and I'm like, I don't want any of that. I don't want what they have. I don't want to emulate that in my home or in my life. And so there is a stark contrast between just someone who's pursuing knowledge or worldly wisdom and the fruit that their life produces versus someone who produces godly wisdom and the fruit that that brings. And so I think we get inspired, but when we see the good fruit that comes out of a wise person's life.
Totally. That's great. And like you said, there's action to pursuing wisdom. It's, you know, reading scripture and building your relationship with God and having that intimacy with him that he can lead you in his ways. And then your response to him is obedience. But he also says in his word that we can ask of him when it comes to wisdom. In James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him."
Yeah, I think this is a thing that a lot of believers just neglect. We think like, oh, well, maybe it'll just come. Like over time, I'll gain it, which is true. But James makes it very clear that God will give wisdom to any of his children who ask for it.
It makes me think of King Solomon when he asks for it, but then gets so much more.
Yeah, he comes to the pre-Christophany. Jesus meets him and says, "What can I do for you? What do you want?" He's about to be king. He's young. And he's like, "Give me wisdom to lead your people." And God's like, "Wow, since you asked for wisdom and rather than power and gold," and he's like, "I'm not only going to give you wisdom to lead and make you wiser than any who has ever lived, but I'm also going to make you the wealthiest and most powerful." And man, what's amazing about that, going back to the fruit we get, the kingdom during Solomon's reign was the wealthiest, had the most peace, was the strongest it ever was because of the king and his desiring of wisdom. It doesn't mean Solomon was perfect. You can read the Bible. He makes unwise choices towards the end of his life. But his seeking God's wisdom brought fruit and blessing to the whole nation. And that can happen in our homes when we seek out the wisdom of God and we desire to walk in it. It's really good. Let's keep going in Proverbs 24.
Yeah, Proverbs 24, 3-4 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled, and with all precious and pleasant riches." So it's going in line of what you're talking about here. And I just love how these are very important verses for marriage, for
family,
for your relationship with your spouse, and how you guys move in unity and in oneness together and in wisdom.
Yeah, and this isn't just about physical building, like, there is definitely a physical aspect to this where, you know, finances are going to be better. Your home life will be better. The physicality of your world around you. Mm-hmm. But this is about like the structure of like the marriage relationship and family also, because none of that has to do with your bank account size or your career or that's all relational and, you know, biological within your home. How is your family unit structured? Is there peace or is it chaos? Mm-hmm. Is there love or is there hatred and bitterness?
Thriving or striving?
Thriving, that's good.
I don't know, just
wasn't in my notes. And so wisdom builds up. You want to know the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. There's a lot of attributes. One of them is godly wisdom is going to build up, not just yourself, but others. And then foolishness or worldly wisdom is going to tear down.
Yeah.
Often it tears you down and others. And so James 3:13-18, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So this is in James. He makes a really stark contrast between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Wisdom that comes from selfish ambition and wisdom that comes from a giving God. And he shows the how very different they are.
I do love that. It like paints this portrait of what life can look like. Here's the potential.
Yeah.
Here's what it can be. The choice is yours. Yeah.
So if you are operating in a way and you want to define it like, well, I'm just trying to be wise. I'm just trying to make this wise decisions. And yet it's causing bitter jealousy and it's driven by selfish ambition. That is, the Bible says, is not wisdom that comes from God. That is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. This is the portrait that's painted for us about this. And then it's a check we can do. Like, am I making this decision just because it's what I want? Like, and I'm gonna wrap it in this word called wisdom and like, oh, here's all the reasons why this makes sense. But in reality, it's a selfish ambition. It's something that's driven by my own desires, my own needs. That's not a wisdom that comes from God. But what flows from godly wisdom?
Being kind, just having that fruitfulness that you talked about. And this even says that wisdom is pure and peaceable. It's gentle. Yeah.
And sincere.
Yeah. And full of mercy. You guys, these are all great things. Like, imagine our marriages flourishing with these types of attributes, all because we chose to walk in God's wisdom and not our own.
Yeah.
Or not the world's.
When a husband or a wife is walking in this kind of wisdom, you're going to see a willingness to resolve conflict, communicating better, loving deeper. Mm-hmm. That's coming from godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to not try and drag your family along, but something that's going to lift your family up and bring them along with you on this journey. It's a pretty incredible thing. And to be honest, I think everyone listening can easily, maybe not on every level, but kind of point out like, oh, that was that choice that I made that ended up bad. That was because of my selfish ambition. Mm. I called it wisdom back then. And I've seen this a lot in my life. I've done it myself. I've seen others do it. People want to make big decisions for their life and little ones. Call it godly, call it wisdom, give all their reasons, and it turn out bad. And that doesn't mean that every choice we make that turns out bad is foolishness, because there's a reality to the world. Mm-hmm. But I think often we can try and justify decisions we make, want to call it wisdom, but in reality, its underpinning is selfishness. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in a sinful mindset. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can be careful with that, as especially as husbands, because our family is supposed to be following us and as we lead, and we could be leading in a really terrible way.
It's all good. So good stuff. Well, we're going to end with just some benefits of your marriage relationship when you choose to walk in godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just go through these a little bit. The first one is trust in your marriage. You know, like I said earlier, when you operate in wisdom, godly wisdom, you're a trustworthy person. You tend to walk in purity. You know, you're more willing to guard your eyes or keep your word. These are things that go back to integrity, like Scripture was talking about. And trust is one of those things that gets built up and deepens over time. So like you said, wisdom builds up, foolishness tears down. If you want more trust in your marriage relationship, wisdom is your answer. And along with wisdom, just being obedient in these ways of having integrity and purity and, you know.
And when a spouse is walking that way, you don't have to wonder what your spouse is hiding or if they're hiding anything. That you don't have to question their integrity.
There's this clear
conscience. You sleep well at night.
Yeah, there's this clear conscience that you guys trust one another. Yeah, for sure.
And the next one is financial freedom. This has so many different levels. Of course, the ideal, the most amazing thing is debt-freeness, right?
Debt-freeness.
But debt-freeness. But being financially free is actually being in control of your finances rather than them kind of just controlling you.
Which you can adjust as time goes on, and you're not bound to the first budget you ever make. Like, you guys can adapt and change as needed.
When you live within your means, when you practice giving generously, when you save patiently, debt loses its grip.
Yeah.
Like you start thinking differently. We used to talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. It's called a debt-free mindset. Regardless if you're debt-free, you can still have the mindset of being debt-free, which then every decision you make and walk in affects how you spend your money, how you live, which affects your debt, which affects your savings.
It also affects your emotional state, because think of the
think
of the many times you may have been anxious or frustrated over finances. So like that word freedom, freedomness, what did you say? When you have financial freedom, you have less anxiety when it comes to, you know, paying the bills or managing all the little nuances that come with managing.
Walking in wisdom, it makes money becomes a powerful tool to be used by God rather than being
controlling
used to, controlling you.
Totally. Great. The next one is physical health and energy. You know, you talked about eating healthy and being wise to operate in a way where you know what you should be doing. When you do that, you're stewarding the body that God's given you. which he calls a holy temple. Like, we should be caring about our bodies and our physicalness when we're eating with self-control, when we're regularly exercising and considering these things. Even rest. When we rest well, we're, like, more happy people. We're adaptable and we—
Rest is a big one.
Yeah, we can do more things. And you have the energy to serve your spouse, to serve your kids, and to serve in whatever other calling that you have and places that you're serving. And so I think being as physically healthy and energetic as you can be is, I mean, it's super wise.
Emotional stability. This is another big benefit. Mm. I mean, first of all, if all of those other things we just talked about are better, you listener, won't you feel like you'll have more emotional stability?
Totally.
You'll be less anxious, less fearful, have more energy. Your hormones will be balanced. Like, just biologically, it does a major work in you. But emotional stability, the negative thoughts being captive, as mm-hmm. the Bible teaches, taking every thought captive into obedience of Christ, guarding our hearts. So guarding our hearts from the lies of the world, guarding our hearts from impurity and media, guarding our hearts from the fear-mongering in the news.
Also just like being able to control your emotions is a big one. Like, because we can have emotions about the smallest to the biggest things in life. And if we're not careful, those emotions can rule mm-hmm. how we operate in our families. And so we need to, like you said, guard that.
Yeah, you become steady. Like, that's what we all want. Again, none of this is about perfection, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us can feel like, okay, how do I get a hold of all of these things? The walking in wisdom that's the first right step.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how do I just start believing what God says? Mm-hmm. How do I just start implementing these things today in this very moment? Yeah. Maybe it's like not buying that extra coffee. Maybe it's picking out a few different things at the grocery store. Like, those are all steps of wisdom in the way you're thinking about your life, your health, mm-hmm. your spirituality. Your spouse and kids, they see consistency when you walk this way. You're not being tossed around and constantly being wishy-washy and flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. You have more stability. And I think it's a really powerful thing mm-hmm. for a family to see, for your children to see, for your spouse to see. It doesn't mean you're not going to have down days. It just means that along this, the long timeline, there's a consistent level that you're generally at with the Lord. So
that was so good. And I feel like we could totally end there. I almost want to, but I feel like there's this one last benefit that I want to talk about because this is a marriage podcast and mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much longing in our hearts for this. And so I'm going to share it real quick, but that was a great wrap up to all of this. And so everything that you said was so good. But it's deeper intimacy with one another. And I just want to say that, like, we know how frustrating and difficult a lack of intimacy impacts a marriage. Mm-hmm. If you know our story, it goes way back to the beginning of our marriage where we struggled with intimacy in a big way.
Nearly 20 years ago.
And since that time, that lasted like 4 years, and now we're at 19. And so we've had more time with better intimacy, but even still, because we're imperfect people, this area has been impacted by different things. But I would say, like, when we're not operating in godly wisdom, this is definitely an area that's going to be affected mm-hmm. negatively. And so if you're listening to this right now and you desire deeper intimacy, greater intimacy with your spouse, I just want to urge you and call you up to pay attention to what God says in his word about the marriage relationship, about oneness and unity, about being a pursuer of peace, because his wisdom has literally changed our marriage and the way we've experienced intimacy, whether it's a deep conversation, but mainly what I'm talking about right here is even just sexual intimacy, but just that connection that mm-hmm. makes us feel like we're one.
And just to point this out again, if we're talking about walking in wisdom to have deeper intimacy, that means agreeing with what the word of God says. So husbands walking with your wives in an understanding way, mm-hmm. husbands and wives not depriving each other sexually,
mm-hmm. praying together,
realizing that, as the Bible says, we have become one. Mm-hmm. We're no longer two flesh, but we're one flesh, that we are pursuing God together in our relationship, that mm-hmm. we're praying together, mm-hmm. That we are serving together, that we're not keeping records of wrongs, that we're walking in. This is taking what God says and applying it in your marriage, exactly. And you will have fruit. Mm-hmm. One of them being deeper intimacy, mm-hmm. emotionally, spiritually, and physically. This is what we are talking about when we're talking about walking in godly wisdom. It's say, what does the Bible say and how do we apply it to our life?
So good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll let that just settle there. At the end of every episode, we like to share a scripture from scripture. It's not a scripture.
Yeah, definitely not scripture.
I almost said verse and I tried to fix it in my mind.
A quote.
It's a quote just from Aaron and I when we wrote Marriage After God. And it says, a marriage after God is a husband and wife who are obedient to fulfill all that God has called them to. As husbands and wives who desire to walk in God's will and his ways, we must be above all else men and women of the word. So that's where it starts. That's where wisdom starts, guys.
So here's a couple discussion questions for you to consider throughout the week. What are some areas of your life you desire to have more wisdom?
Well, what's great about this question, now that we know what wisdom is, we're not just saying desire to have more knowledge.
Yeah.
It's that application of the knowledge. And so I would say, or are we answering these right now?
Shoot one from the hip.
Well, you had mentioned, you know, eating right and being healthy. And I've been through a very long season of like recovering from postpartum. It's not a short 6-week thing. And I think that anyone who's had a baby knows this. It's very long. But getting back into a better routine of making the right choices for my body, and even more so knowing that I have issues with my thyroid, and mm-hmm. being careful to stay away from things that affect me in those ways instead of, you know, justifying it or giving into my flesh, just really caring a lot about that and being wise and applying what I know to make myself healthy.
Mm. I would answer for two things in my fatherhood, being mm-hmm. a parent. Our kids are all getting older, and I just would love wisdom on how to lead them mm-hmm. well. And then just in our business, mm-hmm. things are constantly changing, just trying to figure out how to make it work well and continue to keep it going. So wisdom in those things. Yeah.
The next question is, how will being devoted to gaining God's wisdom affect your marriage?
Yeah,
or you can talk about how it has affected our marriage if you want.
Well, more intimacy. We've had more peace. We deal with conflict quicker, better. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we don't have conflict, but I think more peace, more joy in a big way.
I love it. Yeah. We were open to having more children because of God's word.
It's true.
Just how he was moving in our lives. Yeah,
that's a big one. Actually,
that is a big one.
Our family is the way it is today because of godly wisdom. Yeah,
yeah, cool. Okay, so we're going to move on to the call to action for this week, and it's evaluate any areas of marriage you feel you need more wisdom. Make a list and be praying over this list, and specifically ask God for wisdom in these areas.
Awesome. Why don't you pray for us?
Okay. Dear Lord, we just come before you right now, and we just thank you so much for all the marriages listening, and we just lift everyone up and ask, Lord, that you would fill us with wisdom, fill us with your wisdom, the wisdom of old that has been with you since the beginning. God, we so desire to experience this part of your nature and your character, this likeness that we can participate in. God, we ask that you would fill our minds and our hearts with your word. Write it on the tablets of our hearts. And as we walk, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us navigate our choices, and that we would, in times of temptation, see those ways of escape and take them. We pray that every decision that we make would be made in wisdom, wisdom that would glorify you and benefit our family. And we thank you so much that your word is just rich with your wisdom, and that we can draw from it. And so I pray that you would inspire us, encourage us, and urge us to be in your word on a daily basis so that we can be fed the right stuff and just that fuel that we need to keep going. I pray that we would immediately see the impact of your wisdom working out in our lives and in our marriages. And I just pray, Lord, that every marriage would experience that reward and that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on week 17 of our 30-week marriage devotional series. We look forward to having you next time.